welcome to the Dits on Wrestling podcast, the Royal Navy's only pro wrestling pod right here on Project Dits. And today I am, of course, joined by my usual co-host, Anthony. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm delightful.
We've got a, not that we're not topical, but we've got a very topical episode on our hands tonight. I'm excited.
Yeah, we very rarely actually since, well, many moons ago.
Many a moon.
We rarely delve into stuff that's happening right now. And this is very much happening right now because it's one of the most talked about things in wrestling at the moment.
Yeah, I think...
And rightfully so.
And very much rightfully so. I think we... not to be disrespectful or negative in any way, but I think a lot of the things going on in WWE, unless we're doing like a review show, we tend not to talk about those things because a lot of the things haven't been good. And when the things are good, we want to talk about them. I don't think that's just us. I think that's anyone in general. Nobody wants to really talk about something bad unless you're like the internet wrestling community. You just want to complain about everything all the time, standard. Which, yep, standard as par for the course, that is. And this Roman Reigns thing, exactly like you said, has been fantastic, has been awesome. We got several mentions of it in the episode last week when we were going over the best and worst things of 2020. And multiple people mentioned the Roman Reigns thing as their best thing of 2020 in the wrestling world. I picked that as well. You and I both spoke about it, spoke very highly of it. And yeah, it's just something I think even if it wasn't topical, we'd be talking about it. But it is topical and it is awesome. And it's a direction that we wanted Reigns' character to go in for a very long time. And not only has the character gone in that direction, but it's gone in that direction very swimmingly. And I think we're both very pleased.
Very pleased. And I think, yeah, en masse, the wrestling community is also very pleased. We'll obviously delve into that in just a second, but we'll get the plugs out of the way.
Yes.
Because, you know, people are listening right now. They're not going to be listening in about 20 minutes time. So that's just...
Or even another two minutes.
Let's do it now. So no, nothing really from me apart from follow me on socials at Project Dits, YouTube at... Well, it's not now on YouTube. It's just Project Dits. And on Twitch, Project Dits as well. And of course, you know, there is a whole host of other podcasts on this feed, plus Added Time, a football podcast, and the Hallway Wrestling Pod. Two guys from Ireland, Rian and Kieran, good lads. They've got a good couple of interviews coming up actually in the coming week, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And the Worst Wrestling Pod is joining Project Dits next week. They debut on Tuesday, so lots of stuff going on here. It's all going.
Man. And busy man.
Well, I'm not the only busy person here because you've got stuff going on as well.
Yeah, I got some stuff. I'm Anthony, weekly co-host here on the Dow Pod. Find me on Twitter at pro_ant. That's pro_ant. I am, like I mentioned, the weekly co-host here on the Dow Pod, but I also run a solo pod of my own, and that pod is called Disguise Coverage, part of the Cover One Sports Network, breaking down all the X's and O's and the Y's and the How's behind the who's and the what's for the Buffalo Bills. You can find that podcast being Disguised Coverage, find it live streaming on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Or you can find it later that night / early Friday morning on any of your favorite podcasting streaming platforms, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. The pod episode itself, not just the video stream, also uploads to YouTube. So if you don't want to see my super handsome face, feel free to just listen to the audio version on YouTube. There's lots of options, and I'm really excited. I just joined Cover One a couple weeks ago. They're awesome. They're known for their quality analysis and quality breakdowns of the Buffalo Bills and of football in general. And that fits me to a T, much like this Dow Pod fits me to a T, and I'm very excited.
I think the Dow Pod fits everybody to a T.
Everyone, except for the people that we've kicked overboard and made, you know, walk the plank and killed.
Yeah, we haven't done that for a while, actually. That's
no. Some people were bothered by it.
Yeah.
It would just be, you should just do an episode of that. Just tons of it. I wonder how long it would take for people to tune out.
Like, nope. How are they?
How do they even have the lung capacity for that to just continue with it?
Because we're pros, man. Because we're pros. Right. And speaking of pros,
and
Roman
cons.
Reigns is a professional wrestler. Who are we going to be talking
about?
I'm hanging up.
I'm done. Oh, goodbye. Do this episode on your own. I'm out. How dare you?
Oh, God.
How dare you? He is a professional wrestler.
That's how we transition, baby.
Segways, king of segways.
Oh, actually, I do have something else to plug before we delve. Next week, Draft That is returning to the Dow Pod for the first time since April.
Oh, man.
That's a long time. I did not realize it was that long since we last did it. And we sat down with the guys from Headlock Talk. Crazy.
And they tried to cheat the vote.
Yeah, you bastards.
Yeah, we know. We got eyes and ears everywhere.
But yeah, we're delving back into that. It's just going to be us two against each other initially, just to kind of bring it back full circle. And then we'll start bringing people on again. So, of course, you know, standard rules, hit our DMs. Let us know if you're interested, and we'll get you on. We've had a couple of people express their interest towards it. So, you know, it'd be nice to add a couple more names to that list.
Well, it's an awesome series. I'm a huge fan of it. I love doing draft stuff, no matter what the topic is, what the conversation is. And we've got a good one in store for next week. I'm very excited.
We do.
It's a good one. It's a good one. We do.
But speaking of good ones, I'm not going to do that again. Roman Reigns.
Professional wrestler,
Roman Reigns.
This is the Tribal Chief.
The Tribal Chief, yes. I actually like that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty sweet. It fits with the... Well, I mean, he did the... I think it was... Was it with Samoa Joe? Or was it when Roman fought Brock? Heyman had said that before. He'd used the Tribe line before. So multiple years ago. And it was... So I thought it was cool that they brought it back and... Continuity. I mean, whether or not they did that on purpose, I don't know. But I'm all for continuity in wrestling, especially in WWE when, you know, they usually lack continuity.
And I'll take anything over the big dog. I would take suffering succotash over that. To be fair,
God, they were all just bad. But see, even that, that's what. As I back up my chair, so you're gonna hear this noise. That's the noise of my chair. So I can really get into the mic and let you know. No, I'm not going to do that. Anytime you talk about Roman Reigns, it's always like, oh, he was the guy for the Shield. And it was so much better when he didn't speak. And it would be so much better if he wasn't a heel. Or if he was a heel. And, oh, remember when they always pushed him down our throats? And how come he's still wearing the vest? And how come he just got the Shield music? And remember the suffering succotash line? And remember when Cena eviscerated him on the mic? And it's just been, if you're catching my drift here or getting the point, ever since the Shield broke up, he just can't win. Like, obviously not in the ring because he fucking wins everything. But he just couldn't catch a break. And I never disliked Roman Reigns. I definitely disliked the way he was pushed down our throats. But I didn't think he was a bad wrestler. I didn't think he was a good wrestler. But I thought he was athletic and he was good enough that if you gave him a good partner to dance with, he could dance.
He was
I think
very
AJ,
much the WWE style.
Yes, 1,000%. Which makes sense. Like, yeah. He grew up around it. He's a former football player. And then all he's ever done is WWE. Like, so that's going to be his thing. He is 1,000% the prototypical WWE guy. But I never thought he was bad or terrible in the ring. I just didn't like the way he was pushed down our throats. And that's really, I'm kind of like that way with everyone, no matter how good you are. Unless you're like great. Like, I don't care if Okada wins all the time because he's amazing. But the majority of the wrestling community, and rightfully so, I guess, to some standard, has just not had it with him positively for anything. It's just been constant. We know, like, the constant boos. Nobody's buying his gimmick, buying his shtick, anything like that. He came back from cancer, and he got some cheers. But even that wasn't enough. Like, people were like, yeah, we're glad you're back, and you don't have cancer. But then after he won his first match, they were just like, oh, no, this sucks. You're going to keep winning again. Like, he just couldn't catch a break no matter what. And it's cool now that he's involved in a discussion where it's not like shitty things. It's not like stupid nicknames like the Big Dog. It's not stupid things like the Yard or Suffering Succotash. It's not bad things. It's like he's being talked about for something that's really well done and really well executed, and he is a large part of that. It's not like we're talking about the awesome match that him and AJ Styles had, because I think a majority of that match was carried by AJ. You know, Roman played his part, but AJ carried that match. And so it's not like that. Like, this is something that's awesome because of Roman Reigns. The storyline works because of Roman Reigns. He's executing it. And granted, Heyman definitely helps 1,000%. But I think Roman Reigns deserves a lot of credit for how well this change has gone. He's just really firing on all cylinders and executing on a lot of levels. And I guess you also have to give like creative or the writing team some credit for that. And maybe like, you know, putting him in the right situation and setting him up for success and giving him lines and a storyline that fits his persona, this and that, however you want to go with it. There's definitely some form of correlation there, but he's just crushing it. And it's awesome to talk about a main storyline guy that's doing something awesome. And we're not like chastising it or raking it over the coals like mostly everything else that gets done with WWE.
Yeah, and I think the effect from my point of view, obviously I started live streaming SmackDowns, I think it was like 3-4 months ago or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, things have changed massively, and I think this feeds into the topic today. But Raw was very much the better show out of Raw and SmackDown. NXT for me will always be the better of the three, yes. And I know that you agree.
100%.
But I always felt that Raw was better than SmackDown at that point. And then I started live streaming watch-alongs for SmackDown, and the very, very first episode that I live streamed was amazing. Like, it was the best SmackDown I'd seen in months. Like, a long time. Not even longer than a long, long time. And it continued. That SmackDown became a very consistent show and then eventually overtook Raw in terms of quality. But to have that level of consistency and, you know, a decent level of writing, good matches, all that good stuff, for that just to be elevated like to another level when Reigns came back at SummerSlam, because I thought, oh, SmackDown's great. But then it Reigns pushed it up even higher, just with going like that, turning it from a face to a heel. That's all it took, and SmackDown jumped up a level straight away. And at that point, we didn't know that he was going to get aligned with Heyman. You know, that came out of nowhere. Nobody expected that. Everyone kind of thought, oh, like, Reigns is back. He's got a little bit of an edge to him. This is something that we've kind of wanted for a while. But is it an edge where he's just going to delve back into the big dog and Roman
wins
the big dog. But then we had the reveal of Heyman, which we spoke about last week. It was amazing. It was great. And then the Jey Uso storyline that we've got going on now as well, which is honestly my favorite thing in wrestling at the moment. I adore this storyline. It's hitting me on so many levels. It's hitting all the right buttons. I'd say it's the most talked about thing in WWE at the moment, easily.
Yeah, it's either that or that Buddy Murphy's trying to date a 19-year-old or what's going on over there.
Yeah, well, that feeds into the Raw's quality.
What was the last thing before Roman went away? It was the Corbin dog food thing, right?
Oh God, yes.
Like what a turnaround.
Because I think he was against Corbin for like 2 or 3 months.
For like 17 pay-per-views in a row.
Yeah. And it wasn't doing anybody any favors.
Every SmackDown, every pay-per-view, him and Corbin, him and someone else in a tag match versus Corbin and someone else, same thing. And for him to go from that to this storyline, it's really a, like, and I think that's even part of it too, of what we really want to get into. Like, obviously it's good. Like, everybody likes it. But it's such a successful thing. And especially when juxtaposed with what he was coming from, which was dog food in the face, like just a stupid, corny, dumb thing that nobody cared about. And he just went from that to this now. And I think it's also something to be said for, again, what like character and story can do for a wrestler, like do something to make people feel connected or feel involved or feel like what's happening in front of you matters. I was paying attention to, like you said, you know, this it's a very much talked about storyline with him and Jay. And I don't think either one of them are tremendous wrestlers. I'm not watching that match or that feud for the in-ring ability. I'm not watching it like I'm watching, you know, Omega and Okada. But I'm watching because I think the storyline is really cool. And I wonder how this match is going to advance the storyline. And what's Roman going to do? And what happens to Jay? And like what – just everything. What a dramatic turnaround in character, in direction. I don't think we've seen – I don't want to say ever, but like, I think when it's all said and done, this turnaround or this character change could be on par. Like, I don't want to put it up there with like Hogan's NWO change because that's the greatest thing ever. You can't do that. But like, I don't know, when Shawn Michaels kicked Marty Jannetty through the glass and went heel, like, this is a big deal. Like, they took the guy who was going to be the babyface of all babyfaces and turned him heel. And it's spectacular. It just fits him. The story fits him much in the same way. I didn't pre-think of that. I just thought of it now. Much in the same way Shawn Michaels went from being one of the rockers to this cocky, self-absorbed, narcissistic pretty boy. It just fit. And it just made so much sense. And it just worked. And he owned it. And it fit him much in the same way this storyline is fitting Roman. And he's owning it. This has the potential to be something like massive. Like, the ramifications for this long term could be very, very good and very, very impactful given how successful it's been already.
Yeah, and you just hope that they don't drop the ball.
How could they drop? I don't mean how could they, but like, what is something they could do for you that would like ruin it?
If it goes wrong, I actually don't think it will fall on Roman Reigns. And I think that's been the case actually throughout his babyface run as well. When so much hate and finger pointing was laid at Roman Reigns, I don't think he deserved half of the shite that was thrown at him, you know, because a lot of it was down to creative at the end of the day. Like, he just does what he's told.
You got to put a guy in a position to succeed, much in the same way sports. If you take somebody who's not meant for his position, like if you take a fucking goalie and put him at striker and they're not finishing, then, oh, well, this guy sucks. No, he's a goalie. He's not supposed to be up front. And Roman didn't fit any of the crap that they were giving him, much to your point.
It's hard to pinpoint what will actually
derail it. It's hard to pinpoint. I've been thinking about it for the last minute since you said it. Granted, it's only been a minute. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they could do something to screw it up. But, like, it's hard for me to think what they could do to screw it up because this fits so well.
Yeah, it feels so natural. Like, this is what it should have been. Like, in NXT, he was a heel. Shield, initially, he was a heel. Yes. So, like, it's not like this is new ground for him or anything like that. But, like, you in the realms of babyface, it's been 5, 6, 7 years? It's been a fucking long time.
It's been a long time.
But it's down to creative at the end of the day. It's just going to take one little bad story or one level of inconsistency with character development or whatever, something like that, and people will pick up on it. Like, when wrestling fans don't have a reputation for being the smartest, but we do pick up on things. We do pick up on things when the gap is just so blatantly obvious. And I feel it's not going to be anything to do with Roman. It's not going to be anything to do with his wrestling ability or anything like that. It's going to be something story-based. It's going to be something character-based. Something creative are going to completely overlook. Maybe they put him with the wrong guy. I mean, you look at Seth Rollins. Like, his babyface run when he...
Him and Becky?
No. Oh, I've got to say, well, actually, that's a big part of it. But... that was probably the catalyst, because then he went, because it was it Becky, was it Corbin and then Bray? Yeah, it was, because he was
doing the Becky thing against Corbin, and then went into it with the Fiend,
because he was hot, like the fans, he was over with the fans, you know,
he had no rivalry. It sucked. They took him off of him being over and he fucking went into a feud with fucking Corbin
and then the Fiend, which was... The Fiend doesn't need a title. He still doesn't need a title. And at that point, The Fiend was booked, like, you would literally stab him in the throat and he would kick out at one. You know?
He would just, like, be like, eh.
So you like, Seth Rollins had it all stacked up against him. And it completely derailed his run as a babyface, which was hot at the time. Obviously, Corbin didn't help. So you put somebody with the wrong guy, and then that could be a game changer, and that could be the same for Roman Reigns. Like, if you, I'm trying to think of like a babyface who isn't exactly
that's too, because like we're talking about here, right? Like how the feud with Jay is fantastic right now, and getting him over with like the whole. Why he's doing what he's doing, why his thought process is the way it is, like the whole tribal chief thing and being, you know, the king of the family and providing for the family, not just his, but for the whole clan and like everybody and all that stuff. Like, so I guess putting him in a feud with someone that, I don't know, sucks or just doesn't fit with him, I guess in the story. But see, that's even it. Like his persona, right? This whole tribal chief thing, like big man on campus type thing, then this type of champion that he is, it fits with so many different people because, wow, there's a lot of music outside, hashtag New York City. The amount of, like, there's going to be people that are naturally going to come for him. Like, and the storylines just fit because they're going to want to, like, test themselves against, like, the tribal chief, against the dude who, like, says he's better than everyone else and he's here for this and here for that, like, there's so many natural mesh points for him to have feuds going forward that I never put anything past WWE. Like, they 1000% could screw something up. But I think they would have to almost actively screw this up. Like, I don't think it'll come easy. Like, this is such a hand fits glove scenario, like round shape and a round hole, round peg and a round hole. Like, they would have to actively do something to screw this up. That's how good this is.
Yeah, and he has the added benefit as well of having Paul Heyman on his side. Like, yes. When you see Paul Heyman with somebody on screen, like it literally does not stop there. You're not just getting an on-screen persona of Paul Heyman. You're getting his backing backstage, which is a big deal. Like, regardless of the fact that he's not in that corporate position of executive director or whatever the hell he was doing on Raw, like, he still has pull massively. Yes. So a lot of what is going on with Reigns right now, a lot of what is going on with Jay will have a lot of influence from Paul.
Almost 100%.
So you also have that benefit towards this heel turn. So there's a lot of places that this could go which are going to be successful, as we've said. Like, you could have him as the guy everybody chases. That's what Roman Reigns could be. Like, the persona that he is living right now on SmackDown is that very thing. Everybody chases him. I nearly said he's the fucking big dog. No, he's not.
Oh, man, he is the big dog on SmackDown.
But he is.
What happens? What is Brock Lesnar's contract situation?
His is weird because I think it was 2 months ago, maybe. It might have been a bit sooner. His stuff just literally disappeared off the WWE shop.
Yeah, because he's like an actual free agent.
And it was, you look at Dean Ambrose or John Moxley. Dean Ambrose's merch is still on WWE shop. So if you took Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose and put them like side by side, right? Like, whose merch? If somebody was to leave WWE, Brock Lesnar, who's just sat at home, or Dean Ambrose, who is now John Moxley in WWE's biggest rival, AEW, whose merch do you take off the shop? Well, it's Dean fucking Ambrose. It's John Moxley. It's not Brock. Like, Brock's contract seemingly just ended, and yeah, we don't sell any Brock Lesnar merch on here anymore. I don't know if that, because Brock Lesnar is such a big deal.
Yes.
Whether I don't know anything about contracts or anything like that, but maybe it was a case of if Brock doesn't have his contract with WWE, he doesn't get any of the royalties of the merch that they sell.
So he was
just like, absolutely not, take that merch off, and if I ever come back, then put it back on again. I don't know if that's the case or whatever it is, but he is a free agent. But I think I read a rumor saying, like, if Vince needs him, you know, post COVID, When we've got fans again, he'll just go, yeah, I'm happy to come if the money's right, which is, you know, typical.
Which is always the case. That's where I want this to go. And especially with Heyman, because Heyman's been looking at Reigns at different points as if he's like scared of him,
yes,
and intimidated. And as if he's like not in control at all and doesn't know like what Reigns is going to do, almost in the same capacity that he's done with Brock. So I want this to lead to Brock comes back, and then like, who does Heyman side with? Because, you know, neither of them are going to be like, oh yeah, let's form a stable. Or maybe they do and they go on like a mega version of the two-man power trip. I don't even know. That would be cool. But I want to see like Brock come back and Roman not be with it, or Brock not be with it, and it's a straight like, you can only rep one of us. Like, who are you going to pick? And because then it comes down to like, in the story, like, who does Heyman see as the bigger draw as like a manager, or who is Heyman more scared of? Because then imagine if he picked Reigns, because he's like, listen, I'm like scared of him. Like, that would, you fear Roman Reigns more than you do Brock Lesnar. Oh my God, like, what does that say about Roman? And then how much is that going to piss off Brock? And then what is that? Like, there's just so many avenues and so much potential and so many directions in which Reigns' heel run can go in general, but especially with like that type of feud with Brock, that's really where I want to see this go. So much. I want to see him dominate for easily the rest of 2020. I want him going through the Rumble as the champ. Like, I want this to lead, I don't know if I want it at Mania, but I want to see a culmination of bad guy Reigns fighting Brock Lesnar.
And I like babyface Brock. You know, I mean, not full. I don't think Brock Lesnar will ever be like full babyface. But like, remember the after WrestleMania 31, the following night on Raw, he was set to face Seth Rollins for the title. And then he got screwed over, and then he went nuts and started F5-ing Michael Cole, which was a beautiful thing.
Which is always an awesome thing in my book.
Yes, the cameraman, and then Steph suspended him. And then he came back, and then he was like destroying cars and throwing car doors around the arena. Like, that was the Brock that was... Well, since he returned in 2012, I think it was, that was my favorite iteration of Brock Lesnar. It wasn't full baby face, but he was getting cheers. You know, he was at that level.
Almost definitely.
And I think that if he comes back and you have this Reigns and Brock Lesnar situation, I think that's somewhere where Brock will shine and keep Reigns obviously doing what he's doing. Because that, to your earlier question where you said, where could this go wrong? If this feud is a thing in the coming months, coming year, wherever it may be, this could be the very thing that derails Roman Reigns. Because there isn't any temptation, but WWE will feel like there's a temptation. Oh, well, that seems to be what people want. Well, obviously.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
They'll go, well, let's put like Brock Lesnar's back. He's naturally a heel. Let's turn Roman face again. Like, stupid.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of that.
So that's always a possibility, and that is definitely somewhere where this whole thing would derail, because it just wouldn't work. You know, especially now that at that point, we would have been acclimatized to the fact that Roman's a heel. Nobody wants him to go back to babyface, especially anytime soon. Like, naturally, maybe one day he will go back to that point and, like, kind of like The Rock, but not as lengthy a period. Obviously, Rock came in as this, you know, pure as fucking anything baby face, and then turned heel, everything went right for him, and then just naturally fell back into being a baby face again. But his ride was a little bit different, because his whole shtick was based off charisma.
Yeah, everybody just started cheering for him because he was so awesome.
Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, obviously no offense to Reigns. Like, Reigns does have charisma to some extent, but obviously nothing.
No, but it's not Rock level.
Nothing on the scale of something that would push him to be a babyface.
Do you think this heel run ends with him fighting The Rock at some point, like at next year's Mania?
I've seen that thrown about, and I honestly would be fine with it. In fact, I would be very happy with it, because, again, we've touched on it a couple of times in this episode already. Like, I think with Roman Reigns, we're not here for the wrestling ability. We're here for story.
Yes.
And the moment he said to Jey Uso when he Superman punched him on the ramp before the Friday before Clash of Champions, so last week, whatever it was, and he grabbed his head and he was saying, "Look, I am the head. I'm the head of the table. Nobody is taking this away from me, or, you know, worse to that extent." Reality, you would say that The Rock is actually the head of the table, you know? So as soon as he said that, I was like, ooh.
Oh, that would be so good. Like, oh, just the, yeah, like you, oh, him coming back just to be like, you think you're the head of the table?
Like, because you could have, and it, the timing seems to be working out perfectly, because you've got the whole thing with Jey at the moment, which is kicking ass. Like, this is one of those feuds that could go on for months, and I don't think people would be upset about it, because it's not something that should have been randomly thrown together. They have a lot of material.
Yes, I'm fine with it.
So it's not like, I mean, yeah, we'll touch up. We'll use the Roman Reigns Corbin example. That went on for months. Oh, it should have ended after. Like,
it went on for so long. It just kept going. Months and months and months. Going.
Like, we saw the first appearance of a tin of dog food like week three, and then the tin of dog food was still hanging around week 32. Like,
yeah, they used it multiple times.
Like, go away. Like, we don't need it. Like, this is not doing anything for anybody whatsoever. However, with Jey, he has so much material to delve into, and it can lead into longer term booking. So when Jimmy comes back, obviously Jimmy was a part of the whole the whole thing at Clash of Champions, so he's involved now. Like, when he gets back from injury, which I believe is, I think people are saying Rumble February time, something like that. You could have Jimmy and Reigns go at it, and then Reigns does something to Jimmy, maybe brings Rikishi back into the fold very briefly.
Oh my god, there's so many possibilities.
And
beats the shit out of Nia Jax. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you could.
No, it'd be terrible.
It. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Just be a Nia Jax. Screw it. Just for shits and giggles. I'd get a pop. It would pop me. I don't care if it doesn't pop anyone. It would pop me. yeah, bring back Mixed Match Challenge, and then, like, as soon as the bell rings, just spear Nia Jax. Oh, amazing sure. stuff. So you could have, you know, this whole family feud where he is literally just beat the crap out of everybody.
Out of every single family member.
And then The Rock comes back and says, "You know what, fucking Sunshine, you fucking try that with me." And then we go into WrestleMania, which would be even more perfect if it was WrestleMania Hollywood, but I'm hearing rumors that it's no longer Hollywood and they're actually going back to Tampa Bay. I don't know.
I'm just hoping we're out of COVID by then.
Yeah.
I don't know when this is going to end up or let loosen up or lighten up or whatever phrasing you want to use, especially with the recent I'm hoping the NFL learns from Major League Baseball, but now there's like been somewhat of an outbreak amongst a couple teams for the NFL. And games are getting postponed and some weird stuff. Like, we're definitely not out of the woods for that. But I don't want to drag down this episode with the terribleness of COVID. Oh, that would be – I don't care where it is. It could be Hollywood. It could be Tampa. It could be in my living room. Well, that would be actually awesome if it was in my living room. I wouldn't have to go anywhere. Damn, like, that would be – I'm torn on it because part of me is like, oh, do I really want to see a Rock and Roman Reigns WrestleMania? And then the other part of me is like, yeah, I do. I want to see it if there's fans, because I want the pop of Roman, like owning everything, talking about being the chief and running roughshod through the whole family. And for, I just want that, like, I want that. Oh, I got goosebumps thinking about it. I want that moment in front of a live full crowd of Roman, like, beating down Jimmy or Jey or whatever, and just, like, yelling, like, or maybe on the mic and just saying, like, I'm the head of this family, I'm this, whatever. Whatever type of braggadocious, arrogant statements you want to have him make. And then I just want to hear the little drums, and then I want to hear the, if you smell, oh, God, I would lose it.
Yes.
And then could you imagine, like, oh, and then I want to see a little bit of, I don't want to see Roman be cocky at that point. I want to see Roman be like, oh, shit. And then for The Rock, oh, God. But then for Roman to gain his composure and be like, you know what? No, fuck that. Like, you're not who you are anymore. Like, it's my time now. Like, I had to sit behind and watch you, like, you know, you had your time as head of the family and you did what you did and you provided. It's my time now. Like, oh, because that's even a good storyline too, right? Like The Rock coming back to be like, you know, like, who do you think you are? And at the same time, Roman maybe saying that to The Rock, like, who do you think you are? Like, you had your time, you had your run. Like, now it's my time. Why the hell are you even back here?
And they have some material to delve into as well, because then you could feed back to Reigns' Rumble win where The Rock assisted Reigns, and like Reigns was like, you couldn't even just let me have that moment on my own.
And just stick your nose in my business before, and I tolerated it because you're family, you know, but I'm not having it now.
Oh, that's so much good stuff. Like, 'cause I would like to see how Roman Reigns as a heel would compete
in a universe,
with The Rock's promos.
In a universe other than my fantasy book universe, the GM book.
And Paul Heyman and The Rock.
You know, The Rock would, I feel like The Rock would definitely hit him with like a, like The Rock would speak first and then Heyman would go to speak and The Rock would definitely be like, who are you?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I want to see that. I would see that.
But straight away there, you've got two potential routes that Roman Reigns could go. You could either keep going with the family thing, which I think is what ultimately will happen, whether it involves The Rock or not. I honestly do think Rikishi will come in at some point. Jimmy, definitely. And you also have the Brock Lesnar thing as well. So straight away, you've got two like big drawing. Like, I know we've seen Brock versus Lesnar. I know we've seen a lot of Brock versus Roman over the last couple of years, especially over that period when it was like WrestleMania, then Saudi, then.
But their first one was good. It was a straight fight. That was when Brock got cut up. They were really beating the shit out of each other. And if they fight like that, I am down to see. And that's what this one should be. It should just be. I don't want to see a wrestling match. I want to see them fight and punch the hell out of each other and suplex and slam the shit out of each other. I'm down to see them fight again if it's like that first Mania match.
Oh, I love that first Mania match.
I'll take that. That up, and everybody always talks about the Seth cash-in, and rightfully so. But up until that point, that was a good match. Everybody forgets about how good of a match it was because of the Seth cash-in, and again, rightfully so. But nonetheless, that was still a good match between Roman and Brock before Seth cashed in.
That's one of my favorite matches of the last 10 years. Like, I just got back into wrestling, and that was the first Mania I'd watched since coming back. I think I rewatched WrestleMania 30 just because I wanted to see Taker. The streak end. That's what I wanted to see. That's the only reason I really tuned in back into that, because it was a couple of months after the fact. But WrestleMania 31 was the first WrestleMania I actually sat and watched as a returning fan to WWE.
Me too.
There we go. I enjoyed the hell out of WrestleMania. I don't know if it was because I was just coming back, but I remember sitting there, and I, like, usually with any pay-per-view, to be honest, I'm fatigued going into the last little couple of matches, especially WrestleManias in the last couple of years. Christ almighty. But WrestleMania 31, like, I was glued from start to finish. Like, I was just sat watching this thing. And then Brock and Roman, like, Brock was absolutely kicking his ass. Roman Reigns was just laughing in his face. The whole thing was presented so well. And then Reigns, you know, had his little comeback, and he had Brock on jelly legs. Then the Seth cash. I need to go back and watch that. I'm going to watch that tomorrow.
I enjoyed that Mania to the point. I got a good story for you for that Mania, because that was also the Sting Triple H Mania, even though I hate the Triple H one because that was stupid as fuck.
Yes.
The awesome RKO to Seth Rollins.
Oh, yes.
Out of the curb stomp. Good stuff. Good Mania. I enjoyed that Mania to the point, and granted, maybe because it was my first one back, but also under the circumstances that I watched it in, because I was with a bunch of my boys. But it also could have gone sideways because that was my first Mania coming back, and a group of like friends and I in New York were like, oh, we should watch Mania. And I was like, oh, where should we go? And so we found a bar that was going to broadcast it. But little did we know that the idea that we had, apparently lots of other people had. So we got there, and this bar, two stories, two level, we're on the second floor, and there's TVs like everywhere. but it was standing room only. All the tables were taken up, and it was packed to the point that we were shoulder to shoulder, and we stood for the entire duration. I'm talking pre-show all the way through the last match. We didn't sit. We didn't eat. No, a couple of us ate. I didn't, because I'm not trying to stand and eat. We ended up getting like food. I think we went to like an Applebee's or something after to talk about it and like get food, because we hadn't eaten in like 8 hours or whatever the hell it was. But we sat and we stood for the whole duration of the pre-show and the actual Mania. And none of us were worse for wear. None of us were complaining. I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm tired of standing here. I want to go home. I felt it once I finally sat down. But we the whole time were just like into it. And oh, that was a good Mania. And that was a good match. Again, we talk about the Seth cash-in. But the match was good. Brock and Roman just beating the hell out of each other. And if we let them do that dance again with this storyline added on top of it, God, I want to see WWE succeed. Part of me does it because Vince is a piece of shit, especially with all the Twitch stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, and Christ that, almighty,
that's
awful.
Such bootleg bad shit that he's doing. So part of me wants to see them fail because he's a dick. And there's many reasons for him being a dick, but that's not what we're talking about here on this episode. But, and I feel like I've said this multiple times, but if they somehow screw up this Roman Reigns thing, I really think they got no hope ever again. Because they screwed up NXT when I didn't think they could.
Just want to cut you off just very... I fucking hate cutting people off. But that NXT point, I just want to throw it out there. That is a future episode of the Dal Pod. I haven't actually mentioned it to you yet, but I do want to delve into the whole conversation of NXT and what has gone wrong with it. And the only reason I cut you off is because I will forget to make that point and then we'll never end up doing it. So that I've just planted that in your head. Just so you know,
I'm making a note of it. No, you can cut me off anytime. You are the captain. I am your co-host. Feel free. I mean, I'm going to say mean things about you to the crew now, but other than that, no. And that's so. Then I'll save a little bit on that for that future episode that we will do. But there's, this would really be a big. And again, I'm already at like a low point with WWE. But this would just really be if you needed a final nail in the coffin, if they screwed up this angle, and it's not beyond them to screw it up because they have a propensity to screw things up. Oh, but so if they screwed this up, so help me God. Oh, man. Because I just think they would have to actively do it because it's so natural and it works so good. You would have to almost actively, it's like taking a really naturally beautiful girl. You'd have to dress her up terrible and put all kinds of terrible makeup to make her look unattractive. That's what they got with Roman. This scenario is fantastic. Or you have this awesome steak, this awesome piece of filet in front of you that's just fantastic. You'd have to cover it in fucking battery acid to make it not taste good. I don't know what battery acid they could pour over this steak that they got with Roman Reigns. But that would it wouldn't kill me because I'm already 1 foot, not even 90% of my body is off the sinking ship that is WWE, and I don't really even need a boost to get off completely. But man, that would just be such a horrible look. If you couldn't capitalize on this thing because it's just so easy, and it's so good naturally, and it works in so many ways, and you've got so many options, avenues, and potential directions in which you could go. For them to screw it up, that would be I would have faith in nothing ever again. I barely watch now, and I wouldn't want to go back because I'd be they screwed up the Roman thing. So anything I feel I feel they're just going to screw it up a week later.
Yeah, it's such an open goal. It's, so shocking.
The goalie has fallen down. And the defense is all at midfield, and you are inside the penalty box with no one around you. And all you just need to pass it into the goal. You don't need to go upper 90. We don't need a lot of power on this shot. For all the FIFA dudes out there, we're not trying to hold B or circle. This is just a straight tap because the net is wide open. So help me God if you miss the net. Oh, my God.
It would, oh, yeah, I can, I can see it. The frustrations would boil over. And you know me. I am a diehard WWE fan. And
yes, you are.
You know, even I've come to the point now where, when it comes to Raws, I used to watch it on... I never watched Raws live because I refuse to sit and watch a wrestling show for 3 hours that isn't a pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, also you have like a job and family and stuff, so you can't just like stay up till like 3 a.m. On a weekday.
Yeah, I used to watch it on Tuesday, so I'd get back from work and that would be literally, I'd walk through the door, bang, on goes Raw. Some weeks now, I don't even bother. Like today... I watched the last two episodes of Raw, but on fast forward. Like I skipped straight through unless I saw something that caught my eye. I went, oh, I'll check that out. Like, yeah. There's nothing really going on that I feel that I need to watch.
No, I completely agree.
NXT. I used to watch that either live or again the day after without fail. But now I wait 2-3 days. I wait till the weekend to watch NXT now. Like, it's not must see for me anymore. And like I said, you know, when I cut you off, sorry. that's something we'll delve into in an episode coming up soon. SmackDown is, I mean, obviously I was live streaming it a couple of weeks. You know, I only stopped a couple of weeks ago, so I was watching it live. But now that I've stopped, I will literally wake up in the morning and when I put the TV on, SmackDown is the first thing that goes on. Like, for me, SmackDown is must-see at the moment. And a big, big, big part of that, I'd say 80% of the reason for it being that way, is Roman Reigns. That is the Roman Reigns effect. Haha, get that title in.
Nice call.
That is the Roman Reigns effect. That's what he is doing to me as a fan. And I can tell you now, so many other fans. And it's just a shame that the ratings don't correlate with that, because yeah. I saw like the, I think the ratings had gone down this week or something like that. But
oh, that's gonna kill me if that's what it is. If the ratings are like down, I could see them being like, "See, we knew it the whole time. Like, he shouldn't be a heel. Let's change him back."
But I mean, that it's so frustrating. I'm not a big, you know, oh, let's look at the ratings, you know, and you know that being the deciding factor for whether a company is successful or not. You know, obviously it feeds into it in some way, but not massively so. And it's just, I find it odd that you can have that match, a Clash of Champions, which again, you know, like we've said, it wasn't a wrestling match. It was all story based. You know, hell, even Meltzer gave it like 4.25, which to me says a lot. Like, for a story based match in WWE on the main roster, for Dave fucking Meltzer to give it any more than 3 stars, let alone 4.25, like, that just shows like how good this. Yeah, exactly. It's a big deal. So I, in my head, I thought, you know, people are going to want to tune in this Friday or Friday. Just what day are we on? Saturday, yesterday.
I was like, I don't know what day.
I don't know what day it is anymore. Obviously, yeah, we recorded this on Saturday, so yesterday. I thought a lot more people would have tuned in, but I think the ratings were actually down this week, and I was like, why?
Sucks. Why?
And you know, like you said, that could be something that they kind of go, well, it's sort of clearly not working. Like, you guys have been hyped, like, you smarky little bastards of the internet wrestling community have been, oh, you know, banging on Roman Reigns' heel, like, he'll change everything, la la la, and it just doesn't work.
Because that's exactly it. Like, I'm over here, like, banging the drum for this move. I think it's great, but it's not like it's going to affect their bottom line. Like, I'm not buying Roman Reigns merch now or buying, like, the replica championship title. But that was probably happening for all the kids and girls when he was a babyface.
But then, no, because even when they threw Brock Lesnar back in, because I think there was a period where, who had the title?
But Brock is Kofi. Different, though.
Kofi but had Brock the title. But Brock is different. And I think ratings went down. And I enjoyed Kofi's title run.
Yeah, so did I. But
and they kind of went, well, this isn't working, you know, like, we gave you guys what you wanted. You wanted something fresh, somebody new in the spotlight. Yeah, the ratings are down.
But that's also different, too, though, because Brock took it on the debut episode of SmackDown on Fox. You knew they weren't going to go into the Fox run with it. Anyone is champ other than Brock.
Yeah.
like going into Fox. That's also a bit circumstantial. And it's Brock. Like when in doubt, they just throw him at everything because they think he's a draw. I mean, which I guess he is. But even if it wasn't him, I don't think, and even if it wasn't Kofi, I don't think anyone was going into the Fox run with SmackDown as champ other than Brock Lesnar. I don't think it was going to be anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's encouraging. I mean, looking at the Raw side of things, Drew McIntyre is still WWE champion, despite the fact that Raw is, you know, the Raw's ratings haven't increased since
McIntyre. Yeah, but it's not because of Drew. I like Drew. It's definitely not because of Drew. The show sucks. I mean, the thing that I'm most invested in, and I'm not invested in it at all, the thing, like, what's the biggest storyline on Raw? Like, oh, God, what's going to happen with the Mysterio family? And, like, I don't give a shit about any of that.
No. And that's another thing that's been going on for months and should have ended ages
ago.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Like, how long have they been feuding? And now it's to the point that we have to bring in, like, Rey Mysterio's kids and his wife, like, in order to extend this feud. Like, why are we still doing this?
And then on the flip side, you get something like Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, who have plenty of material to play with, and they could go a few months. They are going a few months. That, you know, likelihood is they're going to face each other in Hell in a Cell in a couple of weeks' time.
Did you see, damn it, there was a graphic of, oh, who was it? Someone else who became champion, and they fought the same guys in the same order at the same pay-per-views as Drew McIntyre.
Oh, it was Kofi.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, like it started with
Dolph Ziggler. Dolph, yeah. And then
Randy Orton.
Then
Randy Orton again.
Then Brock. It was three guys. I'm sure it was three guys. I'm trying to think who.
I don't remember three. I knew it was Randy Orton twice.
Oh, no, it must have been. Yeah, it must have been Dolph, Randy.
Dolph at Extreme Rules, Randy at SummerSlam, and then Randy at the one after SummerSlam, which whatever that is.
So you never know.
And they also usually do, there's also a stat, damn, and I'm thinking it would affect Drew, it wouldn't affect Roman. They usually, granted it's also pre-COVID times, but normally in October, they put the Raw title on someone we didn't see coming because of the conflict with Monday Night Football and ratings. And I think like the last however many years, if you trace it back, like when they first put the belt on Kevin Owens, it was in October. It was fall based. Oh, there's been multiple guys that they put the belt on and it was guys that we didn't see coming. I could see Drew losing the belt like at the next pay-per-view, which would be a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if Orton became
especially because Drew McIntyre sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
Excuse me.
I just know how much you
Excuse me.
What did you say?
Don't let me get Raymond. I will get Raymond.
Oh, that guy. So rude. The weather sign.
But Randy Orton is like in some kind of career resurgence at the moment. Like I've always been a fan of Randy Orton. I've never hidden the fact, but like he's on another level at the moment. I'm enjoying his stuff
so
much at the moment. So if he was to become WWE champion, it's not what I want, but I wouldn't be angry.
I don't know how I feel. I never feel anything when I see Randy Orton. I'm always just like, oh, okay. Like, I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's good. He's just like...
there.
Exactly. Like, and I don't mean that. I guess it probably comes off negatively. But I don't mean that in any particular way. I'm just like, all right. Like, oh, Randy Orton. Okay. Like, I think he's a great promo, and I love the whole psycho type thing, and he plays his character so well. But yeah, I don't really ever, like, feel anything one way or the other. He just comes on and is like, okay. All right.
How dare you?
Not like what I feel for this Roman Reigns storyline, which is chef's kiss.
There it is.
I did that for you.
There it is. Now, as we start to wrap things up, I do want to ask, when it comes to Roman Reigns, let's forget. Actually, no, let's not forget, because I think if he did face The Rock at WrestleMania next year, Roman Reigns would likely go over, because it would be silly if The Rock would win that match.
They wouldn't put the belt on The Rock.
I mean, they've done it before.
That is also true. I take that.
When he beat CM Punk, so. You know how big of a fan I am of the Rockies. You know, my favorite wrestler of all time, and even I wasn't exactly stoked that he that he beat CM Punk. But you know, there we go. Rock aside, because I do think Roman Reigns would win, and let's forget Brock Lesnar because that's an obvious one. Who do you think would be the guy to dethrone Roman Reigns for the Universal title?
Do you have somebody already in mind?
No. I'm just curious your thoughts. I didn't even think about coming up with with an answer myself, which I'll try and think of while you try and answer your question.
I'm trying to think of who...
It's a tough one because, obviously, SmackDown's... I mean, as we found out in the GM mode series that we did, SmackDown's roster is pretty damn thin.
There's a
draft coming up.
Yeah, like if he changed brands or if he changed...
I honestly think a guy like... I think a guy like Kevin Owens, you know.
I don't see them ever putting a belt back on him, which is a shame. Or like the belt. I don't know. Kevin Owens, you think Kevin Owens is going to be the guy to beat heel Roman Reigns? It's got to be like for me...
Maybe Drew.
Yeah, maybe Drew. I feel like it'd have to be somebody who's already somewhat I don't think they would use... What I would like to see I would like to see heel Reigns get beaten by somebody that they would... Like, they would use that to launch this new somebody. Like, give me, like, Keith Lee.
Big E?
Oh, Big E would be cool. Mm. Yeah, give me, like, Big E or Keith Lee... Or anybody whose name sounds like E. no, give me somebody like that. Or like Matt Riddle or Adam Cole. Or like, are we trying to make somebody cool? Like, give Adam me somebody Cole. Like that. I see it being somebody like Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles.
That'd be a shame.
Somebody who's already established who Vince is going to be cool with Roman losing to.
That'd be a shame. That would be a shame. As much as I like AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, like, no.
I just don't see him losing to someone. I don't think they would use this to make someone else.
See, now I'm thinking, I might be in Big E's corner on this one, you know.
I would 1,000% be in Big E's corner for that. That would be an awesome first title run for him to beat Roman Reigns. But I don't see... Like, or who's somebody that Vince has... No, Vince loves Drew. Like, that's his new Roman, kind of. Like, I could see Drew being the one to beat Roman Reigns.
I'd be okay with that.
Because it's some... Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, I was like, you're super biased. But I think it's somebody who, like... Yeah, somebody who's established, but still is someone that people would be a fan of seeing win. Unless there's something that comes out of... God, that's even... Yeah, I don't think there's anybody... I would like to see it put over somebody completely new who's never had the title as a singles run. Big E and Keith Lee would be at the top of my thing.
I mean, by all accounts, Vince is a big fan of Keith Lee, like despite Ciampa. The fact he's trying to sabotage him. But...
Yeah.
Ciampa, yeah.
Ciampa, give me somebody sweet from NXT to be the one to take him. That would be sick. Like, I know who I really want to see beat him. Give me... Oof. I just heard what you said. Give me Walter being the one to beat Roman. That's what I would love.
Oh.
Or somebody like Cesaro. But I really think it'll be
like
somebody
Owens. I don't think that's something ever.
Yeah. That I don't think it would happen.
Unfortunately.
I think it'll be like AJ or Daniel Bryan. But I wish list Big E, Keith Lee, Walter.
I like that. That's a good list.
Walter is my one just because I love Imperium. But I could legitimately see Big E having a chance. It's so tough. Who? Oh man, because it all depends on how they view it, right? Like, I would view if they do this run correctly, which again is tough for them to do. whoever beats Roman, like, that should be a big deal.
Yeah.
So whoever beats him should be like, oh man, this guy is the next made man type of thing. And I don't know who they'd feel comfortable putting that on.
Yeah, see, that is the problem, because I don't think much trust goes into anybody that Vince doesn't already have
exactly
a rapport with.
Or who he's not infatuated with completely, yeah. Like Roman, Brock, Drew. Like, there's only a few, I don't know, watch it be like fucking Shane McMahon.
He's the best in the world.
Shane. He is the best in the world, and he runs the coolest, most hippest underground fight club I've ever seen.
Christ almighty.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. It could be T-Bar of Retribution.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on Retribution again.
T-Bar. Yeah, I think we'll go with those three, because I think any of those three winning would get a pop out of me. Definitely get a pop out of you.
Adam Cole would be cool, but I think he's too little for Vince. I don't think Adam Cole holds that belt, let alone beats Roman Reigns.
He's going to be Shorty C when he comes on the main roster.
That's probably exactly what
Shorty
he's going to
G
be.
And Shorty C.
Oh, he's little. Put him a Gable.
I wouldn't put it past him either. Would not.
Is anybody on Twitch?
Adam Cole, funnily enough, is on Twitch. Let's fucking bury him.
Britt Baker retweeted some tweets that were saying some not so nice things about Vince McMahon about it. I just don't know how you can do that. How do you just like take over? Well, that's a larger conversation for another time.
It does suck, though.
That 1,000% sucks.
I mean, that's an understatement if there ever was one. But
I don't understand the
benefits of it. Obviously, there are benefits for WWE because they get to line their pockets with
more
money.
But how do you do that? Like, especially with the whole independent contractor status. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, and apparently it violates some terms of service in Twitch as well.
Most definitely it does. I don't see how that's a thing. And I don't know how they're allowing that to happen, like the actual streamers themselves, but
I'd be tempted to call their bluff. If I was a guy like AJ Styles, one of the biggest names that WWE has on their roster, I would love to see AJ call WWE's bluff and go, you know what, you can fuck yourself. Like, this is my Twitch. I built this thing up. Like, it's mine. Like,
yeah, fuck you.
You ain't having it.
you don't want none.
Yes. Yes. But it's even like cameos and stuff as well, because like I think Big E is one of the bigger ones on Cameo, I think. And to see that just kind of stripped away from him, like the amount of money that he could make from doing that, I mean, that adds thousands onto his monthly, I think. I'm pretty sure it does. It's just such a shitty thing.
Yeah, it sucks. It's definitely a shitty fucking thing.
I'd be curious to see how it affects Woods.
He changed his name or something. He changed something.
I think there Twitch is some affiliation with WWE with Woods.
Well, because his used to be like Xavier Woods WWE, I think, or Austin Creed WWE, and now it's not. It's something else.
I think it's just up, up, down, down, isn't it? It's got no...
I don't even know. It's... I just don't see how can you do that? How is that a thing? How are you allowed to do that?
especially when you look at... I mean, just from a morality point of view, like, the current climate and all that kind of stuff, like, why would you... It's very much in the same way of those releases back in April, whenever it was. Like, why? Why now? Obviously, this is nowhere near as bad as that, but it's why? Why are you picking this time to be greedy pricks? You know?
Vince has no morality. He's Vince McMahon.
He's fucking...
He gives no fucks.
I hope Roman Reigns starts a Twitch channel and just goes, fuck you, Vince.
Oh my God, that would be so funny.
I just had to bring it back to Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
I thought that was a nice little change of pace from what we usually do. Because usually we're very random with the topics that we come out with, but you know, it's nice to be topical.
We follow our hearts.
So, and it's actually nice to have a decent length for an episode as well, because we've been going long.
Length is important. For the episodes.
For the episodes. yeah, so it's nice to actually see us, you know, hitting around the hour mark. Because we don't, we've done our plugs. We don't need to do those anymore.
No.
All I will say is I'm very excited about where Roman Reigns is going to be going over the coming months. And, yeah, just watch this space.
They're going to turn him face next week.
It honestly wouldn't surprise me.
I wouldn't. You know what? That's so sad. It wouldn't surprise me either. I would be like, well, this makes sense.
Out of nowhere. But I'm also very excited that next week Draft That is back.
What's that?
Excuse me? It's on Twitch.
Oh, nice. Nice recovery. Vince is going to buy Twitch.
He's going to buy Twitch. The fucking fucker.
Fucker. Yeah, fucking fuck.
Again, that is something else that would not surprise me.
No, me neither.
Yeah, so Draft Out, of course, is back next week, so I'm excited about that. But until then, there's plenty of other content across the Project Its feed that you can enjoy. I'll be streaming throughout the week. I'll have videos going up on YouTube. Yes. Anthony will have his live stream on Thursday. It's all going on with us, too.
Very busy. We've got plenty of things going on.
So you've got all that to digest before we hit you with Draft That next Monday. But until then, that's a goodbye from me. And as tradition, Anthony, you always get to close this thing now because you rival Jerry Springer's final thoughts with your sign-off. So I hand over the microphone to you. Send us home.
Goodbye.